And a good morning to you. Welcome back to In Focus. This morning we're joined by warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Topeka, Chad Omit. Good morning, Chad. How are you?
Hi, Kelsey. Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
And it's not 20 below anymore, at least.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of those severe temperatures that we just went through not too long ago, Severe Weather Awareness Week is actually upon us, March 1st through March 5th. Tell me a little bit more about the importance of that event.
Well, you know, as we transition from winter to spring, we can go quickly from the situation where we aren't even thinking about severe weather to experiencing it and having to think about putting a plan together and sheltering and things like that. We've had severe weather events in March in the past. In fact, we've even had severe weather events with fatalities in February. And so we want to start talking about the importance of awareness. And when we talk about preparedness and awareness, we're really talking about a plan, putting a plan together that includes looking at where you would go and what you would do in the event that a warning would be issued. And specifically, we talk about the importance of having at least a couple of ways to receive weather information and specifically warning information. And then also having an awareness of where you would go, your sheltering options, wherever you're at, be it a business, school, or at home.
And you talk about being prepared. What's the first step to kind of prepare for a watch or even a warning that comes into place?
I think the most important thing is to, number one, be able to receive the information in the first place. Because if it's out but nobody receives it, then it doesn't do anyone any good. And so we talk about the importance of using television and commercial radio to stay aware of what the weather is doing, not only now, but in the next day or so. Having a level of situational awareness where you do know, and you can stay aware. And in this day and age, most people are very mobile, and so we talk about the importance of having a way to monitor the weather wherever you go on your device, on your mobile device, on your phone. And so a lot of times when we talk to people and we talk to different groups, we talk about ways on your mobile device to stay aware of information. And that's through some apps that are out there. There are some free apps from the Red Cross and FEMA that will actually deliver watch and warning information to you wherever you're at.
And, I mean, along with that, the National Weather Service obviously has some great things as well, including, I believe there's some upcoming Storm Spotter classes. Do you know more about those?
Yeah, everybody's been dealt the hand that we've been given, so to speak, by COVID. But we do have, what we're doing this year is we're doing virtual talks instead of in-person talks. And we're doing those over the course of the next four weeks or so, over the next month. And in fact, if you go to our website, weather.gov, and just click on Northeast Kansas, you'll see a link at the top that talks about our Severe Storm Safety and Information show schedule. And you can register for that. It's an online show, so we're doing it virtually this year. And we're doing one tonight at 7 o'clock. And then we'll do those talks right through the end of March, and so we'll do those right through March 25th right now, but we're all doing those virtually, and they last about an hour and 15 minutes at most.
And with those classes, what kinds of things will be discussed, I guess?
We talk a lot about plans and ways to stay aware, and so we'll talk specifically about different apps that are out there that can deliver watch and warning information to your phone. The importance of radar and having a radar app on your phone for situational awareness. And then we'll also talk a lot about the different kinds of storms that we see here in Kansas that bring us the large hail, the damaging winds, the tornadoes. And so we spend about at least a half of the time talking about squall line thunderstorms and supercell thunderstorms that have rotating updrafts. And we show examples of cloud features of all those different kinds of storms. And so it's really about safety, and it's also about learning a little bit more about the storms that bring us the hazards.
And it seems like a common theory, or not really theory, but a common theme among people when they talk about severe weather is the difference between a watch and a warning. What is the difference between the two?
A watch is essentially a heads up. It's nothing maybe happening right now, But over the course of the next 4 to 6 hours, thunderstorms could develop in the area, and we want people to be aware of that. And in other words, the watch is sort of a get ready, get set, and the warning is the go. The warning is when we've detected something on radar or a human being has seen a rotating wall cloud, and we'll issue the warning. And that's when the hazard is imminent. That's when we put our plans into action and take shelter. So the watches are more or less the get set, get ready, and then the warnings are the go. Go to your shelter.
And when you're looking for stuff like that, warnings to go into place, what are some of the things that people need to look for to know, hey, danger lies ahead?
Well, specifically, when we talk to our spotters and we tell them that when they're looking at cloud features, we look for certain features in the clouds, organized persistent rotation, so on and so forth. And we cover that in our spotter talk. But for people, just the general public, I would certainly encourage them to listen to commercial media, listen to radio and television, and they'll tell you what the weather is expected later in the day or even the next couple of days. I think that's one of the best ways to stay aware of what's expected, not only today, but over the next couple of days, is really rely on your local media sources to tell you what's expected.
And when those warnings do go into effect, what do you encourage people? What's the first couple steps as soon as you see that warning? What should they do?
Well, one of the things when we talk about warnings and receiving the warning, especially if we're talking about tornado warnings, is number one, know where your shelter location is, know how long it takes to get there, and then take shelter. When you receive that warning, obviously you want to get to shelter. And before then, it's important to have a bit of what we call a go kit with items like a helmet. We want to protect ourselves from blowing and falling debris. And so we talk about the importance of helmets and things like that. We want people to have a kit prepared before the warning's issued so that when it does, you're ready to go. And you go to shelter with tornado warnings. We always tell people the important thing to remember is get as low as you can and put as many walls between you and the outside as possible. And get underneath something sturdy and cover up with something heavy, because it's the blowing and falling debris that's the greatest danger in a tornado. So that's probably the most important thing to remember about tornado warnings.
And I guess practicing tornado warnings or tornado drills, I guess, is also of importance. Is there any statewide tornado drill this year?
Yep, we're going to go ahead with the state drill, where all the National Weather Service offices that serve and provide service to any part of Kansas, what we'll do is on March 2nd, Tuesday, March 2nd, we'll issue a test tornado warning at 10 a.m., and that's an opportunity for people to practice, put their plans into action, and act as if it was a real warning and go to shelter, or at the very least, talk about what they would do and where they would go in the event that it was a real warning. Obviously, with COVID going on, we have to be careful and abide by the CDC guidance of staying 6 feet apart and wearing masks and things like that. And so we understand that. And at the very least, we're hoping that on March 2nd at 10 a.m., people will take the opportunity to think about what they would do and where they would go in the event that a warning would be issued.
And looking at just the severe weather in this past year, was there much severe weather as far as tornadoes and things like that in the area?
No, in fact, 2020 was a historically quiet year for tornadoes anyway, across Kansas. It was one of the lowest numbers of documented tornadoes really in the last 50 years. We had only 17 documented tornadoes in the state of Kansas every year. And to put that into perspective, we average about 90. That's our 30-year average. And so it was an exceptionally quiet year for tornadoes. That is not going to be the case this year. We expect it to be much busier and at the very least more average, more typical of what we usually see, which is, like I said, about 90 tornadoes each year.
I was going to say, I don't recall of seeing a lot of tornadoes in the area. Of course, a year where we're all kind of cooped up inside anyway, and the weather actually wanted to cooperate this past year.
Yeah, the weather was very quiet in 2020, but we don't expect that to be the case as we head into this year.
Right, and that kind of leads into my next question. What kind of things are you guys expecting as far as tornado numbers or any sort of realm on what to expect this upcoming year?
Well, one of the things we look at is the, we call it ENSO, El Nino, La Nina, things like that refer to the ocean temperatures in the central Pacific. Now, people wonder, how in the world could that affect the weather here in Kansas? Well, it can affect the jet stream, the storm track. And what is important to know is that there is actually a relationship between coming out of winter when La Nina is in effect. And that's what we have right now. We have a La Nina in the central Pacific, and that's affecting the storm track and the position. When we go into springtime during those La Nina years, we tend to see an above-average frequency of severe storms across parts of the Plains states, and that includes parts of Kansas. And so that's one of the things we're looking at right now. When we say we're going to be much more active than certainly last year, that's one of the things that we're looking at. We're looking at the fact that over the past 50 years, when we come out of a La Nina winter into springtime, the storm track tends to favor more frequent severe weather events across parts of the Plains. And so if I was a betting man, I would say if we're looking at a number of tornadoes this year, would probably be at the very least around 90 and probably a little bit higher than that, just based on that information.
It'll definitely be a very large swing of things from this past year, 2020. Is there anything else you want to add, Chad, about just severe weather in general or severe weather awareness?
I think it's just important for people to be educated and have the power of information at their hand. And by that, I think it's important to learn about what information is available to people, especially on their phones, because in this day and age, there's a lot of information that's out there, and we can use that information to help reduce our vulnerability from severe storms. And I think that's really important for people to understand that there's a lot of information that's out there that can help us change our behavior even before the storms hit, that can reduce our vulnerability to our families and ourselves.
All right, Chad, that's all the time we have here this morning. Once again, thanks for joining us. Chad Omit, Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Topeka, as we sit upon National Severe Weather Awareness Week. Once again, thanks for your time here this morning, Chad.
No problem, Kelly.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on In Focus.